Hi guys, it's Lola, and with me today is
Jeffrey Dark,
and we are Dark Lament.
That's right, we are.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing House of a Thousand Corpses. Now, Jeff, why are we discussing House of a Thousand Corpses?
Well, this is part one of our three-part series doing the whole spooky Rob Zombie thing. The trilogy will be completed here in just a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, I think it's less than two.
Yes, we're looking forward to the release of Three from Hell, which we've got tickets to.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised we got the tickets.
Yeah, me too. We're going to go see them while we're down in Disney.
Yep.
Down in Disney World in Florida.
Yep.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, well, I wasn't surprised that, like, they had Three from Hell playing in our local one. Because yeah. They played his 31 as well.
I missed that one in theaters.
I saw it for free.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, and that sucks.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah. I did get to see it eventually.
Right.
But
yeah, they played 31 there, so it wasn't a shock that they got Three from Hell. I just wasn't sure with our schedule down in Florida if we'd be able to even make it.
Yeah, that was kind of the tricky part. But hey, we got tickets. We're going to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing for only 3 days.
Right. Which is smart. I mean, it's smart marketing.
It's good marketing. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Rob tends to make most of his money on DVD sales anyways.
It makes sense.
So, push it. Get it out before Christmas.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, and who knows? With the turnaround, he might even get it out before Halloween.
It's possible. And they could be working on distribution for it right now.
Right. I mean, they could be.
That is a possibility.
I mean, it took so long for... Right. Well, it took so long for Three from Hell to get made in the first place. And
what has it been, like, 14 years?
House of a Thousand Corpses was released in 2003.
Yeah,
and so yeah.
Yeah, it's like
basically
a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean,
do you want to just hop right into
it? Let's hop right into it. This we've got three of these to do, and
right.
Let's not keep our fan waiting.
Right. Our whole one fan. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure your name's Steve.
Yeah.
Everybody's name is Steve.
So, like I was saying, House of a Thousand Corpses was released in 2003. Featuring Karen Black, Sherry Moon, Sid Haig, who we've reviewed in a movie before on here. Not you and I, but my sister and I did. Spider Baby.
Spider Baby. Good movie.
Great movie. I think Sid Haig might be one of the only horror icons besides Elvira and Svengoolie that Zoe could recognize. Bill Moseley is also in this movie.
Yes.
So is Rainn Wilson.
Rainn Wilson is, like, I love Rain.
I know you do.
Rainn Wilson, if ever you listen to this podcast, if you ever do.
Yeah.
Hey.
Jeffrey Dark is
obsessed with Rainn Wilson. Rainn Wilson, keep making films, keep doing comedy, keep doing everything you can. You're an awesome cat. Your number one supporter. Woot woot.
And then, of course, Chris Hardwick is also in this movie.
Yeah, we'll just leave that with that.
I gotta say that this is honestly the only Firefly I ever want to hear about.
I agree.
It's the Firefly clan here.
Yeah, I agree. You can hate on us all you want.
But not everybody has to like...
you don't have to like the stuff we like, but we also don't have to like the stuff that...
You like.
Everybody else likes. And
right.
Firefly sucked. I'm not a fan. Right. Not at all.
Yeah. Meh. So, moving on. According to the synopsis on the back of the DVD case for this movie, which we'll get into detail of this movie.
Of course.
But the synopsis on the back says, two young couples take a misguided tour into the back roads of America and search for a local legend known as Dr. Zaten. Lost and stranded, they are set upon by a bizarre family of psychotics. Murder, cannibalism, and satanic rituals are just a few of the 1,000+ horrors that await.
Yay. Originally read the back of that and thought, oh, so there's a little for everybody.
Right.
I mean...
Obby.
In case anybody didn't know, I am the guy who routinely roots for the killers, psychopaths, and bad guys in these films. Born a heel, will die a heel, will always root for the heels.
Yeah, you know, I was told that I wasn't supposed to root for the bad guys.
Yeah, and whatever happened to that guy's wrestling career? Oh, yeah, he never had one.
Oh, that's so mean.
I'm not a nice guy.
No, you're not.
But that's okay. Like a true heel. I'm a heel.
All right.
You root for whoever you want in wrestling.
So the movie opens with a Svengoolie-like character, Dr. Wolfenstein, creature feature, and then he goes into a commercial for Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madman. There's a long pan out from Spaulding's museum / gas station, and the date reads October 30th, 1977.
I was 2.
I was not born.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Jeffrey Dark is robbing the cradle.
Or I'm robbing the grave. Spaulding is held up by 2 men. One has a monkey mask, the other has a ski mask on. Spaulding mouths off to the ski mask one.
Ski King!
Right. The local guy that Spaulding's been talking to recognizes the monkey man, and the monkey man gets agitated, lifts up his mask,
Dick Wick.
Yeah. Suddenly, this crazy hillbilly type with a giant foam head comes in and helps them kill the men.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite openers of a film almost ever.
And it's like a soft open is what it is.
Yet I hate how they use the term soft open.
Right.
But that scene is anything but soft.
You know what?
Honestly, I freaking brutal.
I feel like I worded that wrong because you have that opening and then you have the title cards.
Yeah.
Sequence.
It's such a badass scene. You really get right off the bat.
What kind of personality Spaulding has.
Spaulding is just he's a giant middle finger to everything. And anything that you like, he will purposely hate because that's Spaulding. Fuck you. Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
You. Fuck your sister.
Yeah.
Fuck your mama.
Fuck your grandmama.
Most of all, fuck you.
I love Spaulding.
So, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's brutal. And, you know, you got some really good poetry there by Spaulding's friend.
Right.
Yeah. Little Dick Wick plays with his prick. Don't the smell just make you sick?
That's the poem that the local tells the monkey masked man. And that's what agitates him and makes him take off the mask.
He's a bumbling idiot. He trips over his feet trying to go get the guy to begin with.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, can't keep his mask on.
Then the title cards happen, and it's, you know, the actors and actresses' names, director. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of some early White Zombie music videos.
Rob has an aesthetic that he pretty much sticks to.
Right.
It's very...
very Grindhouse 70s.
Grindhouse 70s and 70s horror. The decorations, the art of horror and Halloween in the 70s still has this raw, pure, gritty spookiness to it that'll probably... It's timeless. I mean, even today, you know, it's, 2019?
Yeah.
And we still do the 70s-style Halloween decorations. They're the ones that everybody wants.
Yeah.
I mean, Rob knows what he's doing. He's freaking amazing. The guy is... I don't have to tell any of you folks.
We're introduced to the couple. The couples, I should say.
Yes.
They pass a truck with a sign that says, God is dead. Yeah. On the radio, there's some kind of news report about the Manson girls. Jerry, who's played by Chris Hardwick, is talking about how hot...
He's reading the book Helter Skelter.
Yeah, and he's talking about how hot one of the Manson girls was. I can't remember which one it was.
Squeaky.
Squeaky, yeah.
Yeah, he was all about her. Which, you know, whatever. I guess... Manson chicks were considered hot, but...
I guess.
That, you know, whatever.
And then Bill is getting agitated because they're running low on gas, and he's pissed off because he hasn't been sleeping, because Jerry won't fucking drive.
Jerry is a cheap, lazy prick.
Because apparently Jerry doesn't have night vision.
Yeah.
So they end up seeing a road sign for Spaulding's place, and they head that way.
Yes, because... Don't freak out! There's gas! Oh, God. I hate you, Jerry.
Bill starts making small talk with Spaulding because he's really interested in all the stuff that Spaulding has in his shop. Like, he's genuinely, like, curious about all these things. And he's got a bunch of, like, freak show items.
Freak show, horror, Ripley's Believe It or Not type stuff.
Yeah, is what you would... Spaulding's place
is. It looks like a really kick-ass place to
visit. Does. It's like a little hole-in-the-wall
I would
gas
hang
station.
Out there.
Yeah. Plus... Easy. There's, like, that museum as well.
Oh, and chicken.
And chicken.
Freaking
fried chicken.
Apparently. And what little tiny pieces you see of it it looks like fried chicken.
Right.
It looks like really good fried chicken.
Right. So they wake up their girlfriends to go look around at this place, and the girlfriends aren't that enthusiastic about the roadside, about the place, or about the aspect of being on a murder ride.
They don't look thrilled to do anything
they
other
really
than
don't.
Sit in the car and sleep.
They really don't.
These two, right off the bat, you get the impression that...
The girlfriends are just there.
They're there. They're bitches.
Yeah.
And it's like, immediately my thought is, God, I can't wait for them to die. Oh, I wanted them to die so quickly.
You find out that the reason the couple is traveling is because they're trying to write a book on roadside attractions.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Which is important because, like, in a lot of these horror movies, it's just like, oh... We're just traveling for no reason whatsoever. There's no purpose.
Or we're going to a party.
Right.
Lame. It's
they go on the murder ride.
They go on the murder ride, which, of course, gives us a short little story of, you know...
Dr. Satan.
Well, not just Dr. Satan, but a little bit on Albert Fish.
Albert Fish. They show Lizzie Borden, but do not tell
Lizzie
her story.
Borden.
Ed Gein.
Ed Gein, which is awesome. That little murder ride, I would probably be like, all right, how much to go again?
Right.
Because it looks like fun.
Dr. Satan.
Dr. Satan, yeah, the little... it's Quentin Quayle, wasn't it? Quentin Quayle.
I believe so. He was an intern at Willow County.
Yeah.
And believed he could make a superhuman race from the mentally ill.
Yes. Wow, that's some really, really far out thinking.
It is.
It's like, wow. I mean, I'm sure there's a joke in there, but I'll save that joke for later. Yeah.
The story is that Dr. Satan was hung by this on this tree, but the following day when they went to go recover his body was missing.
Yeah. Vigilante justice.
Yeah.
He was never, you know, found guilty in court or had a proper trial or anything like that.
Right. And the tree is apparently not too far from where Spalding's gas station is.
Yes.
Jerry is really, really fucking jazzed about Dr. Satan.
Yeah. He's like so jazzed I kind of want to slap him.
Jerry is the cause of all the problems.
Jerry is a neckbeard who needs his head kicked in.
Right.
I mean, he's the type of guy I would literally, like, oh, why don't you come over here? I'll buy you a drink and kick his ass in the bathroom.
Right. while they're there at the gas station, Denise does call her father to let her know, him know how she's doing.
Gotta check in with Daddy.
Right, exactly. They establish that Denise is close to her father.
Yeah.
While Denise is doing that, there's also a flash about a news report of five missing cheerleaders.
Five missing cheerleaders, yeah. Okay. Which is kind of spooky. Five cheerleaders go on a road trip and...
Gone.
Dead. Which, of course, goes right back, and it's Jerry begging for a map.
Yep, Jerry
to see
wants
the hanging tree.
Yep, Jerry wants a map to the tree that Dr. Satan was hung on, and Spalding warns that it's dumb.
Yeah, this is stupid.
This is the first warning that Jerry gets about Dr. Satan. Spalding tells him it's stupid.
Yep.
But he sends him off the map and chicken.
Which, in hindsight, you start wondering, you know what? These little shits had it, what was coming to them.
They really
stuck
did.
Their nose where it didn't belong. And, you know.
So.
They had plenty of warning.
They did. The couple drives off and they find Baby by the roadside and pick up Baby.
Hitchhiking Baby, played by Sherry Moon Zombie.
Mm-hmm. And Baby says the tree is near her house and agrees to show it to them. I've got my notes here. Jerry is a fuck up.
Yeah, it's again says Jerry is an idiot because, boom, the tire goes flat.
Yep.
Have a blowout, which, of course, is a member.
We find out that it's RJ who did
it. It's RJ who shoots it out with a gun.
RJ being Baby's brother.
Yes.
But you don't discover that until later in the movie.
But, however, Jerry, who was supposed to fill up the spare...
Which he did fill up the spare.
He did.
He did not put it back in the car.
Of course he didn't, because, once again, Jerry's a fuck-up. Yeah, Baby was leading the group home, and we cut away to...
Otis, giving this rambling,
the leader of the rebellion speech.
Yes, this I'm awesome speech to a bunch of terrified cheerleaders. Otis, of course, is played by Bill Moseley.
Bill Moseley, yeah. A very, very amazing actor.
Bill Moseley is so underrated.
He's so underrated and just overly talented.
He
it's
is.
Ridiculous.
Baby and Bill arrive at the Firefly house. Yes. Jerry and the girls stay with the car. And Baby just seems kind of eccentric at that point, I think, to Bill. They go in and she's got these, like, baby dolls.
Nailed to the outside of the house.
Yeah. And they're missing their arms and legs.
Yeah, some of them are. Some are missing their heads. Some are missing
Eyes.
It's pretty creepy.
It is, but I don't think Bill's just off-put yet.
No.
You know?
Door's locked, so she goes to the other side and lets him in.
Right. They go in to wait, and he's like, hey, don't you need to tell your brother to go pick him up? And she's like, oh, he's already on his way. Well, RJ was there the entire time because he's the one who blew out their tire.
Absolutely. He's waiting.
Yep.
In the bushes to obviously cause some sort of trouble. Or help.
Or help.
You never know.
You don't know.
But at this point, baby's hitting on Bill.
Yeah, Bill gets hit on by baby. He gets awkward about it. He doesn't say anything, but he doesn't do anything either. Nothing happens between the two of them.
Which is...
He's not rude to her, but he doesn't, like, encourage it.
Yeah, but I will say, side note, Sherry Moon hits on you, hit it.
Right.
I mean, that's just a rule. That's just one of those things. Especially, well, in this case, hot psychopath...
Right.
Hits on you, hit it. You probably have a better chance of living.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I actually mentioned that later on in this review about Bill's issue.
Bill should have hit it.
So, Jerry and the two girls are brought in by RJ.
Yep.
And Denise wants to call home, but is informed they don't have a phone.
Oh, of course not. Conveniently, they don't have a phone. Why would you have a phone?
She's told this by Mama Firefly, played by Karen Black.
Karen Black, we miss you.
And Mama seems to be into Jerry.
Really into her. But hey, let's face it, Karen Black?
Who wouldn't be? Who would not be?
Even in her declining years.
Which I think House of a Thousand Corpses was one of the last movies she did.
It may have been. And, you know, they dolled her up a little trashy, but Karen Black.
Ooh,
girl. I'd have hit it.
You find out that the tow truck driver is called Rufus Jr., or RJ.
Yeah, Rufus Jr.
And,
why not? Which is really odd because Rufus isn't his father's name.
Or is it?
We don't know.
Because
there seems to be like 35 fathers in this film.
There does.
And we'll touch on that more because...
We'll touch on it more in Devil's Rejects, I feel.
Because, yeah, we're not sure exactly who...
Who fathered who.
Yeah. We are down south.
Right.
So, you know.
Back to the movie, though. Mother Firefly asks them what they're doing out and about, and Jerry is a complete disrespectful ass, and he's like, I'm gonna go, we're trying to find ourselves a hoedown. Yeah. Yuck, yuck. And it's like, wow, Jerry, this family invited you into their home.
Yeah.
They are very much into Halloween, and they're inviting you guys to partake in their festivities, even though they might seem odd to you, while you wait for your car to be fixed.
Which they're doing, and no mention of charge.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing this out of the kindness of their heart.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we don't know that these people are crazy killers.
No, you just think that they're eccentric.
They're eccentric, weirdo southerners.
Yeah.
Who are doing you a favor by fixing your car.
They're showing you some hospitality.
And showing you hospitality. The least you could do is play along, be nice, say please and thank you, and just shut your fucking mouth.
Right.
I mean, it's simple. Oh, not to mention, Mary.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mary's the biggest.
Who is, Bill's girlfriend.
Right.
She is a cunt.
But we will get into that later because it's not in that scene yet.
Well, actually, she does. She starts, when Mama Firefly starts asking her questions, she's snarky and says quite a few rude little things.
Oh, geez.
She asks, what, are you not into Halloween? She says, no, just a little too old. And gives her a dirty look. It's like, both of you, at this point, I'm going, thank goodness this is a horror film because... Hopefully they'll both die.
Right, exactly.
Painful, horrible deaths.
So they're all sitting up at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah. It's for dinner dessert. Time.
They've got these homemade masks, which remind me a lot of the masks that you see in Trick or Treat during the bus scene with the mentally handicapped
kids made masks in class to wear. Yes.
A lot of them look very similar. In fact, I think Grandpa wears vampire mask. That looks almost identical.
Yes. I might have to do a little more research on that because,
There's some similarities. Yeah.
It's neat.
It is very neat.
I like the masks. I think they're... I would love to have a collection of those. As you can tell... Well, if you folks obviously can't tell, but Lola can tell.
I collect masks. Yeah.
I've got quite a few and I love them.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
The one that you're looking for is the pig mask from Motel Hell.
Yes. If anybody has a hookup on a Motel Hell pig mask, please contact me. I'm not hard to find. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram.
He wants higher quality than lower quality because you can find low quality. No,
I want a high quality.
He wants high quality.
I need that bad boy. Motel Hell is a brilliant film, which we will review.
Right.
Believe it. Anyway, back to this podcast here. Tiny walks in.
Yeah, Tiny walks in.
This great big 8 foot tall monstrosity.
Right.
Of look. And the bass line that hits when he walks in. You're just like, it's overpowering. And then he walks in and just kind of subtly.
He's such a gentle giant.
Yeah.
No matter what scene he's in, he's just, you know.
But yet extremely scary and intimidating all at the same time. Like, you don't know whether he's going to pet you and want to be your friend.
Or if he's going to stab you like a twig.
Yeah, or he's going to kill you. Exactly.
Yeah.
He sits down for dinner.
And everybody's looking at Tiny's face and everything. And you find out from Mama Firefly that Tiny's dad, Earl, went crazy.
And set hot fire to the house, claiming there were demons in the house.
Starting with Tiny's bed.
Yeah.
And Tiny was in the basement.
Burned Tiny up over most of his body. Hands, face, chest.
It's legs, tragic.
Everything. It's sad.
It's very tragic. Baby is busy getting ready for the variety show that they're going to have later.
Yes.
And is torturing the remaining cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
While they're sitting around at the table getting ready to eat dessert, Grandpa's like, hey, you need to put your mask on because otherwise we can't eat our fucking dessert.
That's right. Because Tiny had to go and get Grandpa.
Yep. So they put on the masks and Jerry's like, hey, what do you know about Dr. Satan? As that happens, enter Otis.
Yeah.
And he brings in a jar, a conjoined twins in a jar. And I think they say who the twins are.
Yes. He comes in walking like some psycho Jesus.
Yeah.
and is carrying Little Wolf.
Yeah.
The name of it obviously is a member of the family.
Right.
Or was at one time.
Right.
It is now in a pickled jar floating there.
It's probably a jar of formaldehyde.
But it's obviously a giant pickle jar.
Right.
That they've formaldehyded this conjoined fetus in.
And I think it's supposed to give you the idea that they're inbred.
Yeah, well, as if you couldn't tell by the rest of the family.
Right.
There's definitely some major inbreeding going on. Little Wolf is creepy, and Mama Firefly kisses the jar.
Yeah.
And is quite pleased when she sees Little Wolf.
Which makes me think that Little Wolf was probably one of hers.
I would probably say so. Which is weird because Otis has it, so it's like...
It could be his.
It might be. It's real.
Again!
I would love to sit down with Rob Zombie and just pick out this family bloodline.
It'd be cool.
Buy a family tree poster of this.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's like, if anybody's got one of those, it can be verified by any of this, let us know. I'd love to see it. Anywho,
Otis
Psycho Jesus and Little Wolf are in there.
And Otis starts to tell them the story about Dr. Satan, which is pretty much the same thing that Spalding did.
He hints at it.
Which
ends up being a huge ruse.
It is. But we don't find that out until later. But Otis even warns them about Dr. Satan. It's like, you don't want to know this.
Do not open this can of worms. I am giving you one shot at this.
This is their second warning on Dr. Satan.
Otis is first and only.
Otis is first and only, but the group's second warning on Dr. Satan.
And mind you, at this point, when I originally saw it, I'm like, they've had two warnings. And the only reason they've given them two warnings is because it's Halloween.
Yes.
Had this been like July 3rd or August 4th or, you know, September 9th, I think they would have just freaking killed these freaking little kids.
Oh, yeah, totally. And even Grandpa is like, no, go ahead and tell them the story. But the story's never told because after dessert, it goes into this variety show.
Yeah, it's showtime!
And Grandpa tells a bunch of dirty jokes.
Hilarious dirty jokes.
Yes.
Which, if you've seen this, well, obviously, see the scene, you'll... I knew most of those jokes. I heard those growing up from family members. We'll just say that. Grandpa's stand-up is inappropriate and hilarious. But then he introduces...
Baby. And Baby's doing this lip-sync routine. And I have to wonder, with the kind of outfit Baby's wearing, if it wasn't going to eventually go into a burlesque strip routine.
It's possible. I don't know if
she... Because she comes out all dolled up. Her hair is all curled to the...
Yeah.
curled up. She's got this little tiara type thing on. She's got big, huge, like, eyelashes and eyebrow face makeup on.
She's looking sexy as hell.
She's wearing this skin tight, clingy dress. Lots of fucking sequins on it.
She's looking smoking hot.
I can't think of the name of the singer, but it's I Want to Be Loved by You.
It's very Betty Boop.
It's very Betty Boop, which, you know, made me think it was going to be a burlesque routine. Jerry and Bill are totally engrossed by Baby's routine.
In all honesty.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, who wouldn't be? They're
who wouldn't be?
Straight women were, their jaws were on the floor. Sherry Moon Zombie made that scene sexy as shit.
Yeah. The girls are once again less than enthusiastic about it, of course.
Not just less than enthusiastic. They're friggin' shifting in their seats.
They're
jaws
straight up
drop.
Hating.
They're pissed.
They're pissed. They're pissed. All Baby is doing is she is lip-syncing to this song, and she is in a gorgeous dress. And she's covered.
She's completely covered. However, when she does notice that they are hating, she starts to flirt.
She does, and she goes over, and she simply sits on Bill's lap. That's it. She doesn't, like, caress him. She just plops her butt on his seat. That's it.
Yeah.
But then Mary, his girlfriend, calls her a fucking slut and shoves Baby. And this is when all hell breaks out, because Baby is about to cut a bitch.
Yeah, she pulls out a switchblade, says, I'll cut your fucking tits off and shove them down your throat.
But Mama's like, no, Baby.
Nope, not today.
And right
not
then is when
today.
RJ comes in.
And car's done.
Yep. And Mama's like, you know what? You guys better be leaving.
And they leave. They powder. Yep. And quickly, mind you.
They do.
They powder quick.
They powder super quick because Mary's opened up a can of worms here. Baby's done nothing but do a dance and sit on Bill's lap.
And mind you, the Fireflies have been nothing
but courteous and nice.
A little weird.
A little eccentric.
But, I mean, people think I'm weird.
Right.
I don't know where they get that from, though.
So, Mary bitches the entire time they're attempting to leave about Baby.
Of course.
But then they notice that the gate is closed.
Yeah. It's pouring down rain. It's black as pitch out.
Yeah.
There's no lights anywhere.
No.
The gate's closed.
So, Bill gets out to go open the gate, and he's attacked by someone in a scarecrow outfit. Turns out it's Otis.
Gets his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry, being the macho tough guy he is,
gets out to help.
Yeah, and gets his ass kicked by Tiny.
Okay.
Who's wearing a giant mask of some sort.
It's a scarecrow as well.
It's kind of, it's very scarecrow-y, but it's also kind of pumpkin-y. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
The girls try to lock themselves in the car, but Tiny just busts through the window and pulls them out.
Yeah. They beat the shit out of the car. They beat out of all four of the kids. But hey, these shithead little kids have had it coming.
They've deserved it. So then it becomes October 31st.
Yes. It's Halloween.
Yep. RJ takes the car to a dump site. And Denise's dad calls the local police about his daughter because she hasn't checked in and he's worried.
Of course. Because any good father would.
Right.
Especially
Mary,
in the 70s.
Great. Mary is bound in Otis's room. She's tied up in a chair.
Yes.
And Otis tells her to shut up because he's working.
Yes.
Mary asks where Bill is. Otis goes on about how he's a great guy, huge help. And Mary again asks where Bill is. You flash to Otis and Baby with Bill. Bill is...
Yes.
Yeah.
Brick House.
Brick House is playing.
The Brick House number. It's an awesome little cutscene.
Yeah. Bill is strung up while Otis cuts at him, chopping off his hands.
Chops his hand off. He cuts him up with a straight razor.
Yeah, he cuts his face with a straight razor.
He's
torturing Bill.
Poor Dwight.
Yeah.
Dwight is being tortured, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad.
Mary begs to see Bill and is introduced to Fish Boy.
Yes. Otis obviously has an artistic side.
And
he's a struggling artist.
He is. Here. And he talks about how Bill was a great inspiration.
Absolutely. And Bill was, because that is a beautiful half-man, half-fish that he makes.
I hear that Rob Zombie has the prosthetic...
I hear it's in his place.
I hear it is, too.
And that's freaking rad.
It is. And you know what? Looking back on it, I feel like this was them actually doing a courtesy to Bill's character. Because Bill was one of the more respectable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was probably, of them all, he was probably tortured the least, which is kind of
fucked up thing to say.
Right. He had the most memorable death in the fact that he turned into Fish Boy, because anybody who, even people who haven't seen House of a Thousand Corpses, if you're like, Fish Boy, they're like, oh, Fish Boy!
Yes.
You know? But if you ask him, like, how did Denise die? How did Mary die? How did fucking Jerry die?
Right.
They're like, But Bill had the most memorable death in the movie, I feel, and I also feel that he got it out of the way early and his torturing wasn't prolonged.
Right.
Like the others.
Right.
And I feel like that was a courtesy that the Firefly clan gave to him.
I would think so.
Also, in their own fucked up way.
Also, because he was so polite.
Yeah.
They wanted to remember him.
Yeah.
So, Fishboy was born. And I imagine Fishboy was probably going to end up in Spalding's museum.
Right.
Which I have now after seeing that and knowing the movie, I have a feeling a lot of that stuff was probably made by Otis.
Probably. We'd have to go back through and, like, pause it on the different creatures in Spalding's place.
But at the same time, you don't really see a whole lot. So, no. I'm grasping at straws here.
Yeah.
But,
So,
Fishboy's revealed.
Meanwhile, the police arrive at Spalding's to question him about Denise. Because yes. Denise's father has informed the last place that she was at was the Spalding place.
Called Spalding's.
Yep. And Spalding is honest. He's like, the kids stopped by. They were into the Dr. Satan story. So
I gave him a bullshit thing to take him out back behind the farm. And
yeah, they probably just got back.
Stuck in the mud.
Yeah, they got stuck in the mud.
Got their asses lost.
Yep.
Like stupid city slickers do.
And the police demand the same exact map.
Which he draws for them begrudgingly, and makes a few pig jokes. And
He's even wearing a shirt that says pigs is beautiful.
Yeah, which, you know.
Good timing.
That shirt's awesome. Which, at that point, we get a cut scene, which is really trippy, about two weirdos talking about Skunk Ape.
Right.
Which, Skunk Ape is a local legend, I'm not sure where from. But it's essentially like a southern Bigfoot, from what little I've done looking up on it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Then we cut back to Denise.
Yes, in the presence of Tiny.
Yeah, she's strapped to Tiny's bed, dressed like a baby doll.
Mm-hmm. Which your automatically thought is, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
She gonna get some naughty times.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiny gonna...
Well, Tiny does bring her breakfast in bed.
He does. Nothing says... I love you like a bowl of Agatha Crispies.
I love that.
That should be a Funko Pop cereal.
It should be Agatha Crispies
with a little tiny, oh like a mini God. Tiny.
A tiny.
I would buy that. I would buy that cereal. I would never open it.
I know, me too.
We collect the Funko stuff. Just we do. So y'all know horror stuff, and we like the horror cereals too. If you're a fan, want to buy us something, you can send them our way.
Denise begs to be let go, and Tiny just lets her go.
Tiny's like, bitch, I'm trying to eat my cereal,
so
and you just keep ruining my meal here by jibber-jabbing and crying, so he unties her. Yep. He's like, bye, and waves to her goodbye and everything.
Yeah, and she's just like, oh, are you sure? Should I go?
And he's like, see ya, bitch.
Yeah, later.
He's waving.
He's like, just eating his cereal.
Which is out of a dog bowl.
Right, because he's so big.
And he's the grossest eater.
But he's like, yeah, just go on and go. And she's like, I'm just gonna go. Don't worry. And then Otis, of course, comes out of the corner of the staircase. And he's like, nah, bitch.
And he's like, Tiny, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know, this attitude of, like, Tiny.
He's like, God damn it, Tiny.
Like, you keep doing this shit. Like, he's done this before.
Right. Exactly.
Which is
weird. But then Mama Firefly had mentioned earlier in the movie that Tiny's very shy, but he opens up to the women.
Yeah, he's a real lady killer.
Uh-huh. So...
Which means he probably
I don't
want
to
know. I do not want to know how he's killed them.
I don't want to know either.
It's... Ugh.
Yeah, Otis gets Denise and throws her into this cage, and she's attacked by other women. And I have to assume those other women are the cheerleaders.
I don't think they are.
Do you think they're the mentally ill?
I think they are, because I think all the cheerleaders were divided upstairs.
Maybe.
I think those girls were just Tiny's toys.
The police end up finding the car.
Yeah, which is beat to hell. It looked like a freaking... It sat through a hurricane.
It did.
Of bullets.
It did.
And just every window's broke out. All the trim's pulled off. The whole car's fucked. And it was a pretty car.
Right.
I don't even know what the maker model was, but this was a beautiful classic car.
So
and they fucked it to hell.
So the police find the car, and then it flashes to Jerry being tied up in a room with an old movie board that has Creature from the Black Lagoon on it, which I thought was really cool.
Did they open the trunk?
They haven't yet.
Okay.
Baby's in a cheerleader outfit, and Baby begins torturing Jerry. She's asking him all kinds of questions, like what number she's thinking.
The first thing she does when she kicks open the door, "Hey there, poopy pants! What's up?" I love that. I love that line. "Hey there, poopy pants."
And she has a lisp. Baby has a lisp in House of a Thousand Corpses, but by the time Devil's Rejects happened, which from what I remember, which will reveal the movie, it's almost right after the events of House of a Thousand.
It's like she was playing a character, which is...
okay, but keep the consistency.
It was creepy. It was weird, kind of off-putting that all of a sudden she went from this playful little child into this, I'm a whole hardcore killer slut.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like, what? She did a whole, like, Cindy Brady kind of thing with, like, the lisp.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she loses the lisp.
Yeah, and now doesn't talk with that little baby voice.
Yeah. Which, okay.
Whatever, but at the same time, continuity.
Right.
Unless that's a character thing, they kind of should have told us something, because it was weird.
Anyways. And then one of the questions she asks is what her favorite actress is, and Jerry, assuming that because Baby is this blonde bombshell, her favorite actress was Marilyn Monroe.
Ugh.
It's not. It's Betty Davis.
Anybody who didn't think it was Betty Davis is an idiot. Anyhow.
So then, why do you say that?
Betty Davis was classy.
Fair.
She was classier. She was more talented. I mean, Marilyn was pretty, but she wasn't exactly a great actress.
Well, because Jerry has answered all her questions wrong, Baby proceeds to scalp him. Flashback to the police.
Who, at that point, find the keys of the car and pop the trunk. And what's inside?
A dead cheerleader.
One of the dead cheerleaders with trick-or-treat carved into her body.
Yep, you find out the girl in the trunk is Karen Murphy.
Yes. Karen Murphy, the apparent... I'm assuming the head of the cheerleaders, because she was the only one that the news reports mentioned by name.
Yeah.
So she must be the rich... I'm assuming she was the more popular of the girl, head of the cheerleaders.
Probably.
Or her daddy was a rich something.
Yeah.
She's the only one we get by name.
Yep. While that girl's being discovered, Otis and Grandpa are watching the Munsters while Otis chucks knives at Jerry. Jerry, at this point, is being strung up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He's got patches of hair missing.
Yeah, she went at him with the scissors while she was interrogating him earlier.
Well, and then she ended up scalping him, too.
Yeah. Which, hey, you know what? Jerry deserved it.
Right.
Every bit of it.
The police and Denise's dad arrive at the Firefly house.
Yeah.
And Mama tells Otis about it.
And of course, Otis.
Otis is smart.
Otis is smart, and he's pissed off.
Yeah, and this isn't Otis's first rodeo at this kind of thing either.
No. Otis is like, he knows exactly what to do, but he's pissed off because he has to always do it.
Yep.
It's like they can't leave him alone so he can just do his art.
Right.
The struggles of an artist, you know?
So, Mama's like, there's one policeman here, and Otis is like, you dumb bitch. There's more than one. There's always more than one.
Pigs hunting packs.
He's like, you go downstairs, you play nice,
and I'm gonna go take care of this other thing until I tell you to do it. Blah, blah, blah.
So, the deputy and the dad go wander around the grounds and find this creepy shoe room.
The shoe room, which is obviously the shoes of the victims that they've handled.
Right.
Apparently somebody has a shoe fetish or something. I don't know.
So, during all that, Wydell is busy questioning Mama Firefly.
And she's playing dumb.
She is. She's playing so dumb. She's kind of flirting with him, distracting him.
Yep.
The deputy and the dad discover Mary and the butchered remaining cheerleaders.
Yeah. See, there's where the cheerleaders were. They were out back.
Yeah. in this tool shed type of thing.
Yeah.
They end up busting the lock off of it.
Gruesome. I mean, there's chunks of them everywhere.
Mary's strung up in the middle with the whole Jesus pose, and then you've got like a girl on a table, a girl in a pile, you got another girl on the back.
You got a couple of legs. Everything is covered in blood and gore.
Yeah.
It's a fucking awesome scene.
It is.
It's friggin' brilliant. Rob, that was a great vision. Thank you.
But while they discovered this, Wydell gets the call from the deputy and is shot by Mama Firefly.
She plugged him good, too.
She did.
Blew his friggin' brains out.
Yep. The minute he reaches for his walkie, she knows exactly what the call is going to be. And before he can even hear it, it's boom.
Yeah, she puts his hair chunks in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's... Oh. Yeah.
The dad is shot, and while he's being shot, he reminisces about Denise and her mother at Christmas time.
Aw, touching.
And then the deputy is shot, but it's a very, very long, drawn-out scene.
It's a long, panned-out sky shot.
Yeah, because you see the tool shed.
And they're playing is a beautiful song.
All right.
I Remember You.
Right. Tool shed's in the background. There's clutter
everywhere.
The
deputy's on the ground in a pool of blood.
The dad's face...
The dad's the one in the pool of blood.
Yeah, face down in a pool of blood. The deputy's got his hands behind his
completely head. Submitted. Completely submitted. He knows.
He knows.
And he's got this big-ass hand cannon shoved in his face. And he just knows the shot is coming.
Yep, it's right between the eyes. Otis is just standing there, one-handed.
The music fades off, and you just hear this single... And you just see the brain chunks hit the sky, and his body slumped over.
It's a great shot.
It's beautiful. It's very... It's probably one of the most artsy shots in the whole film.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. The tension is
unnervingly
thick. Absolutely.
Because you know that like Otis is going to shoot the guy.
This murder is cold, calculated, and he looking him dead in the eye when he did it.
He did.
There is no fear, no remorse, no concern about the future. He is just cool, calm, collected, cold-blooded murder.
Mm-hmm.
It is powerful.
During this entire time, Baby's been out buying liquor with RJ.
They cut over to the Red Hot Pussy Liquors. one of the coolest songs in the movie. Side note, I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan. I'm a huge White Zombie fan. I've been into them since the frigging 80s.
Yeah, you actually found 80s. Out that one of your tattoos that you have... The guy who tattooed you went on tour with Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson.
The neck piece I have is a raven's skull. Or crow skull. It's a crow skull.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't get to see what's on the side of my neck unless I look in a mirror.
Yeah.
It
was designed by Jesse Myers.
Jesse Myers designed it at Silver Key. But
they brought in a guest artist to do this like flash sale event that they were doing. The proceeds went to an animal shelter, I believe.
Yes, half the proceeds went to animal shelter, which is awesome. We always support that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Lola and I firmly believe in giving back to our community.
Right.
Even if that means we have to suffer a needle.
Right.
God forbid we get ink.
Right.
For charity.
But yeah, anyways, slight digression.
Yeah, he went on tour with Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson and inked them both.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
they chose him. Yeah, so I got a piece of,
artwork by the same artist that they've gotten.
Yeah,
So that's kind of cool.
I wish I could remember his name.
I've got his thing on Instagram. You know, we'll tag him in this.
Absolutely, because freaking badass work. I love this piece. I get so many compliments.
You do.
It's
gets a lot of compliments.
Gorgeous
on this
piece.
It is. It's a bird skull.
It's a crow skull.
Crow skull.
And that's
anyways, back to the movie. So, Baby's buying liquor.
Yes, at the Red Hot Pussy Liquors. Great song. They meet Jerry Ober or Goober.
Goober.
Again, well, and first off, the first thing you've seen when they cut to this thing is, of course, Sherry Moon's butt.
But this is the second time that you're seeing her bare butt.
It's not completely bare.
Right.
I mean, she's got assless chaps and obviously, I think, like, fishnets.
Right.
But, that's... For all you, butt fans out there, it's a pretty primo little tushy.
Right. But if you really, really want to see, like, Sherry Moon ass,
just
go to Devil's Rejects.
Or just Google it. I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere.
I'm sure. But, like, Devil's Rejects
Rob Zombie is obviously obsessed with her butt.
I would be.
Yeah, who wouldn't be?
Right.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's gorgeous.
Anyhow, so they tease Jerry Ober and they spend $200 on liquor.
And he's like, the damage is this. And Baby's like, no.
Yeah, it ain't no big deal. Yeah, it's because she doesn't have to earn it. She's been killing people and taking their fucking money.
Right.
It's, you know, I'd be willing to spend $200 of somebody else's money on liquor.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So you go back to the Firefly house and,
yeah.
Mama, Baby, RJ, and the rest are all in, like, these white robes.
They're obviously set up for a celebration.
Exactly. There's,
the candles are lit throughout the whole house. Yeah. The lights are dimmed. It's very... It almost looks kind of Christmassy.
Kind of.
It's definitely an orange and red lighting, but it looks pretty... Almost Christmassy. It's creepy.
They're very angelic looking.
Yeah. And they start chanting Otis's name.
Yep.
Otis. 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 To which, at the top of the stairs...
Is Otis. Who's
up here? Well, it's a man in a fur coat. That's what you see at first.
Right. But then they start flashing back, and you see Otis with...
Otis is cutting up...
Denise's dad.
Denise's dad.
Yeah.
And he's making a Denise dad suit.
Mm-hmm.
Which he is wearing under this big fur coat.
Yeah.
And giving the who's your daddy speech. It's disturbing as shit.
Jerry, Mary, and Denise are all...
They're strung up by their wrists.
Tied together.
Tied together and hanging from the ceiling in the living room, it looks like.
At first I thought they were all dressed as rabbits, but they're not. Jerry's a donkey.
Yeah.
Mary's a rabbit, and Denise is a pig.
Yes.
Which, if you think about that, it makes a lot of fucking sense. Which I didn't realize at the time, but looking back at the movie, it makes a lot of sense since Jerry was a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
Denise's dad brought the cops.
So she's a daughter of a pig. So she's the pig.
And then Mary being the rabbit.
Yeah, the coward.
The coward. The scared little bunny.
Yep. Yeah. Who's your daddy? Which spurs one of the coolest lines ever. The boogeyman is real. What was it? The boogeyman is real. And you just met him?
Yeah.
Or you're about to meet him, something along those lines.
You know what? It surprises me that you have to think about that line. I have to
think
does.
About that line. I know. It's stupid.
Because you probably heard it half a dozen fucking times. I've heard it
probably more times than anybody in the world. First off, this is one of my all-time favorite horror films. I love this film. This is a religious thing with me. Every Halloween since its release, I watch it. It's a guarantee. It has to be played before midnight on Halloween. This is a staple with me. Also, that line is played. Well, a good friend of mine put it in front of my intro music in wrestling. And the boogeyman is real. And whatever the next line is. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Or just gentlemen. Or just lady. I don't know how many of you got to pay attention to us.
We said hopefully Steve.
Yeah, we did mention you, Steve. But and we just got done watching the film.
Yeah, we did.
So, but I've listened to it so often now, the words just kind of blur into my brain. But yeah, it was used in my intro music.
It was.
Which, made me look crazy as shit.
So Otis eventually reveals himself to Denise as, you know, oh, I'm wearing your dad's skin, ha ha!
And then he tongues her in the face.
Yeah, and she's just sobbing. She's upset about it, obviously.
Oh my, because she thinks it's her dad in her weakened state.
Yeah.
She calls out to him thinking it's her father.
And realizes it's not her father.
When he
that Otis has skinned her dad. Yeah. And that any hope that Denise had of leaving
is gone. It's gone.
It's gone.
She has... like a -3 billion chance of leaving.
Right. In fact, any chance any of them had of leaving is gone.
It's done. The cops are all dead. There's nobody coming. Nobody even knows they're there.
Right.
Nobody even knows the cops are there at this point.
Actually, at this point, yes. Devil's Rejects.
Well.
But we'll get in that in a sec. We'll get into it then.
Yeah.
And of course, Otis tells Jerry that he'll do him one better than tell him the story of Dr. Satan. He will take Jerry to meet Dr. Satan.
He will get to meet the old bastard.
So the remaining group is marched out to a field.
Yes. Which seems to be some sort of ritual.
It does.
Some sort of maybe even satanic ritual.
Right. Because
I would say with Dr. Satan being the name, it's probably some sort of satanic ritual. I'm no...
We're not Satanists.
We're not Satanists.
But pagans, we do recognize rituals.
Yeah, it's definitely a ritual, and it's obviously to their vision of a devil or the devil.
Right.
So they march him out to what looks like an old oil rig.
Yeah, and they're going to drop him.
And they're going to drop him in an underground cavern of some sort.
Right.
Which, they put him in a giant coffin and start...
But before they do, Mary takes off running.
Yes. And
start to untie them so that they can put him in this coffin. Actually, no, they separate them.
Yeah. So they can say goodbye.
Uh-huh.
To each one.
Aww. And, of course, you know, Mom Firefly is saying goodbye to... Jerry.
We could have been something. Yeah. Could have been something. Yeah, you could have been alive, you dumb shit. You should have just let Mama Firefly have her fun. You probably could have gone on your little happy-go-lucky day there, huh?
Yep.
Dumb sons of bitches.
So, Mary runs off.
Rabbit, run!
And Otis goes to shoot her, but then Baby begs him and says, hey, let me go get her instead.
Yes. And... she takes off like a bat out of hell.
Oh, yeah.
She has obviously done
this. She's been gunning for Mary.
Yeah, she don't like Mary. Which makes sense. Because Mary's she's a little fucking cunt.
Because Mary is what started the whole thing.
If Mary's mouth... Mary just would have fucking took one on the chin.
Yeah.
For the group.
I'm not saying she should have been like, oh, honey, I'm fine with you sleeping with her. But I feel like shoving her off her boyfriend and being like, you're a fucking slut, is totally different.
Yeah, that's a... You know, in my experience in life, that's how a bitch gets her tits cut off and shoved down her throat.
Right, exactly.
So she chases her down, catches up to her, starts spouting some nonsense about a rabbit.
She said the maiden.
Yes, and the rabbit, yeah, it's really creepy. And plunges a big-ass knife right in the middle of her chest, licks the blood off the blade, and...
That's it for Mary.
And bye-bye, Mary. Mary probably had a... least painful death.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because she deserved probably the most painful.
But she was tortured.
She was, but still wasn't enough.
Nope.
Run, run, rabbit.
So then only Bill and Denise remain, and they're lowered into the oil rig in the coffin.
Oh, it's not. It's Jerry.
Jerry. Oh, I'm sorry. Jerry and Denise.
Yeah, Bill is fish boy now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. My notes were wrong.
That's all right.
They're lowered into the coffin, and then
weird recording playing.
Yeah, and
something buried in a nameless grave.
Right, the weird recording seems to awaken the beings in the oil rig.
Which made me think of, like, Morlocks.
Right.
I mean, that's the way they look like the old Morlocks to me. Blind, creepy, slimy things that kind of just tear the box apart and...
They separate Jerry the two and Denise. And
shove them down separate... tunnels or something.
Yeah. So
it's weird.
It is. So I thought RJ was going to go dump the police car, but he ends up just doing donuts with it and then driving
and drinking.
And then bringing it up to this pier. This pyre where they're going to be burning Mary's dead
the
body.
The big pyre. The big which you when they pan away, you realize it looks like old ancient Indian burial grounds.
Right.
Because it's a big, huge thing of stones.
Yeah.
Laid out very intricately.
So it's like they must have been doing this for generations or they stumbled upon it.
There's some definitely heavy dark magic being used here.
Right, and they don't explain that even in Devil's Rejects. But so I'm hoping Three from Hell.
You definitely get the vibe that, whoa,
yeah,
something evil is on this land.
Mm-hmm. So Denise is in the tunnels looking for Jerry.
The underground.
And thinks that she's found Jerry. But it turns out it's just a crazy guy who stole Jerry's outfit.
Rabbit suit.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah, it's a donkey suit.
It's the donkey suit. She freaks out. He goes skittering off. She goes to follow. And has her outfit ripped off by two other creepy guys.
Yeah.
who tear her rabbit suit off, revealing she's back in the pig outfit, and she's back in her little schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah, she's in the baby doll costume that she was in when she was on Tiny's bed.
Which, at this point, looks a lot like Alice. Like Alice in Wonderland.
You were mentioning that it had a very Alice in Wonderland thing to it.
Like she had just fallen down...
the rabbit hole.
The rabbit hole. Which, Rob has a Alice in Wonderland thing.
Okay.
There's a lot of, like, I don't know if it's just me picking up on it or if it's a direct influence, but there's definitely an Alice in Wonderland vibe to a lot of his stuff.
Okay.
At least to me.
It'd be interesting to explore it a little bit more.
It would be. I'd have to look a little more stuff up, or, God, I'd love to interview him. Rob Zombie, you're awesome. But yeah, it's very Alice in Wonderland-y when she, like, bottom of the rabbit hole, looking around, oh my God, this place is weird. Well,
then some of the angles when she's going through that hallway with all the dead bodies.
Mm-hmm. The skeletons, the dead bodies. The skeleton
corridor, and then she goes to the room which I've described as the Bone Cathedral.
Yeah. And the doors open up.
The doors open up because there's a
dude pulling the door open with his... with a rope.
Yeah, he's like this.
Like, he's automaton. The doorman.
Yeah, like he's this human automaton type of thing.
Yeah. Which opens up to like this weird, like,
waiting room.
Hospital waiting room full of these mentally ill patients that are in various stages of surgery.
Yeah.
And all kinds of biomechanical
automaton.
Weird shit on them. One guy's got a big mesh thing around his head, wired jaws.
You've ever seen the movie Frankenstein's Army,
yes.
There's a lot of creature design
mm-hmm.
that kind of reminds me of that.
I can see
although that. House of a Thousand Corpses happened way before Frankenstein's Army. Honestly, that's the best reason to watch that movie, is to see the creature designs.
Creature designs are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's in a waiting room, and she finds looks Jerry. Up, sees Jerry.
And Jerry's finally met Dr. Satan.
Yeah, Jerry got his wish, ladies and gentlemen. He got his wish. He got to meet the old bastard, as Otis put it. And he's performing brain surgery on him.
Yeah, and Dr. Satan, when you see him on Spalding's Murder Ride, he's just this character in blue scrubs.
He's human at this point.
He's a humanoid.
On the ride.
Yeah, on the ride, he's very human-looking. He's just got these medical scrubs on. Yeah. But when you see him in the
in his true form, he is like a mechanical spider-looking. He's very, very thin.
He's got a gas mask on.
Yeah, which... he's very old.
Very
he's
old.
Extremely old. Barely any hair. He's very spindly. He's got mechanical things attached to his arms that are obviously helping him move and be more precise.
Yeah.
He is nightmarish. He is absolutely an atrocity to see.
And he very much is.
Very scary. But he says something to her in German.
Yeah.
Which she can barely hear. It's a whisper. I don't know what it is. I would love to hear a translation.
We would probably have to put on the captions.
It'd be interesting to see if it would translate.
Yeah.
We'll have to check that out.
But then...
He's obviously... You realize what he's doing. He's calling for help.
Yeah.
Because
she's standing there screaming at him.
Door bursts open at the top of the stairs is Earl. And Earl is a giant... he's huge. He's probably 6.5 foot tall, probably 300 plus pounds of just raw muscle. And he's obviously surgically altered.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of breathing apparatus. His skin is bright red.
Because he was burned.
He was burned, but he's like... slimy and got black leather on his hands, and he's got a great big fire axe.
Yeah.
I mean, and he starts coming at her.
Oh yeah.
And it's obvious what is gonna happen. He's like, this bitch is gonna die.
Yeah. So Earl, or the professor as he was credited in the movie, yeah, goes chasing after Denise. As luck would have it, for once, Earl ends up chopping down a part of the tunnel and bringing it down on him.
Yep.
So Denise is saved.
Yeah.
The Firefly Clan's not looking for her.
The caves are the way, only way out of the place.
Uh huh.
Was the right only where way she was. Into the hospital was through the well.
Yeah.
Now that's closed.
Yeah.
She's got, and she digs her way out.
She does. She climbs out of
the rubble. She comes out, and bam, it's sunshine. It's morning.
Yeah.
She's free and safe.
She starts stumbling around.
She stumbles the side of the road.
Yeah.
Miraculously. And luck would have it, a car comes rolling by.
Yep.
And she's saved.
Yeah.
A gentleman who we haven't seen in quite a while is behind the wheel. It's a makeupless Captain Spaulding.
Well, he's still got a little remnants of it.
Yeah, well, it's obviously after his shift at work. He's coming home for the morning.
And obviously, with her being in the state she is, Denise doesn't realize that he is Spaulding.
Right.
He doesn't have makeup on. It's enough makeup on to where we're like, oh.
We know, but
we know.
She don't because
she don't know.
This bitch been through hell.
She's been through
a lot. And for what she understands, this guy had nothing to do with it.
Right.
She don't know that he set her up.
No, he doesn't.
So she gets in the car and he says, oh, honey, what happened to you? There's some people looking for you.
Yeah.
We didn't know who the people were. Obviously, it was the Fireflies looking for her.
Which you discover it because Otis pops out of the back seat while she's passing out.
And he pulls a blade.
Yep. And then it...
And kind of quickly fades black, and then goes right back to
Denise
close up
being,
of her being having her brain.
Yeah,
she's having brain surgery done by Dr. Satan.
Yeah, she's awakens at the mercy screaming. Of Satan and Dr. Satan and Earl.
Yeah,
and you're like the end ? Which we know this isn't the end of the Firefly Clan.
Right, it's not.
And you were talking about how like the police didn't even know what was happening at the time.
Yeah,
but you find out, and
of course,
Devil's Rejects.
They did know.
They did know. Apparently, Wydell's brother was informed of what was happening.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to talk too much more about Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Because that's a totally separate movie.
And we will review that one. That'll be our next one after this.
Yeah.
We probably won't be able to review the third one until after we come back from Disney.
Right.
But that means we're going to have to do some copious note-taking while we're at this film.
We don't necessarily have to do that.
We'll work on it. We'll have a plan.
So what I figured with that one is we could tack it on to the end of the Devil's Rejects one and just be like, hey guys, this is a bonus feature on here.
Yeah.
Stop listening if you haven't seen the movie. But
spoiler
continue.
Alert, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Blah. Anyhow.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was House of a Thousand Corpses. I don't know what you rate that, but that may be... It's probably in my top 5 favorite horror films.
It's definitely a fun movie to watch.
I love this movie. It got a lot of heat when it first came out. It did not do really well in theaters.
Most of the zombies movies didn't do well in theaters, except for maybe
Halloween. Did. Halloween did.
But because, the sequel did not.
No, the sequel sucked. I love this film. I'm going to get a lot of heat. I like it a lot more than Devil's Rejects. We will review that and we'll touch on that more. But House of a Thousand Corpses is a true horror film.
Yeah.
And that's what we do here.
I feel like Devil's Rejects is more of a thriller.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. But you open with something like House of a Thousand Corpses, which is very... Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
And you kind of expect it to go and...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But no, it becomes kind of Natural Born Killers.
Right. Which is disappointing because Bill Moseley was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Oh, yeah.
He was Chop Top.
One of my favorite characters.
Yeah. He was Chop Top.
Yeah. Nothing like scratching your head with a hanger that's been heated up with a lighter. So gross. And then eating the stuff off. Anyways,
that movie's
but
gross. Yeah, that was
fun. I love it. Like I said, that's House of a Thousand Corpses. One of my personal favorite Rob Zombie films. Maybe top 5 for me. Maybe it's definitely my top 10 favorite horror movies, just because the visuals are just so.
And some of the music choices are really nice.
The music, Rob Zombie. That's one thing Rob Zombie can consistently do is nail out an amazing soundtrack. Every single one of his movies has an amazing soundtrack.
I'm sorry to bring up the Ramones scene.
Oh, yeah, because everybody knows about my deep love for the Ramones.
It was when Baby was getting ready for the party.
Yeah, of course. because, you know, sniffing glue is a good thing for kids to do, according to. Well, it was the trend in the 70s. Kids sniffed glue to get high, and the Ramones made fun of it.
Anything
because that's the way they did. There's not much else I want to say about it, other than it's going to be an amazing ride.
We're excited to see the conclusion of all.
I am definitely.
I'm hoping it's not like a big. I'm hoping it's not overhyped to where it's just not that good of a finale for this, because you figure House of a Thousand Corpses came out in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Devil's Rejects came out not too far after.
Right.
But from movie one to this final movie, it's been 16 years.
16 years we've been waiting on the conclusion of this.
Yeah.
This will be amazing, I hope. I'm hoping and praying to the goddess that this is an amazing film. It deserves an amazing ending.
It does.
And
it'll be interesting to see what kind of, like, horror sub-genre he brings it into. Because, obviously, House of a Thousand Corpses was very grindhouse, very 70s feel to it.
Yes.
And then you've got Devil's Rejects, which was very much like the 90s aesthetic, which was the thrillers.
It was a thriller, kind of a...
The Natural Born Killers, the Seven kind of thing going on.
It was like a Scorsese mixed with a... Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. It was very action-packed, gun-toting.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a horror film.
Right.
It was
a suspense, like, you know, the Bone Collector.
Yeah.
You know. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of, like, visual design and feel this new one has.
It's going to definitely be gritty.
Right.
I mean, that's Rob's style.
It is.
It's going to be graphic as they get.
But the thing is that, like, from each of those eras, he's got other directors to look at. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
In this one, in this time period, he's got himself.
Absolutely.
You know?
He's got himself, but he's also got a lot of new, really visually stunning, amazing horror directors out there.
Who are you thinking?
That he's going to be competing with to put this out there. I mean, let's talk about some, you know, couple.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
We've had Us. We've had...
not even, like, talking further back, talking this month alone.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie's Three from Hell is going up against It Chapter 2.
Which is going to be good. But the thing is, they're two totally different horror styles.
They are, but I'm just saying that under a whole...
It's going to be interesting to see what he does. Because he's had a lot of... In this last 16 years, horror has really kind of changed.
Yeah.
It's now, not only are we going to fuck with your, you know, with your fear, but we're going to play on your deepest, darkest fears, your personal hatreds, your personal, what makes you look in the mirror and go, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like what I see in myself. It'll be interesting. I mean, that's a cool thing about horror. It reinvents itself.
It does.
All the time.
It does. I mean, you look at some of the older horror movies, and they had stuff like brain transfusions, and it's like, that's not even a thing of horror anymore.
Yeah,
like, that happens.
We do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do brain transplants. I don't know what the success rate is, but, you know, we're doing that kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
They're talking about reanimating dead bodies now.
Do you want zombies? That's how you
get zombies. Yeah, that's how you get zombies.
There's a movie about that. There's some, like,
there's a whole bunch of movies about, like, right, that stuff. All of which we will probably review.
Right.
But, yeah, House of a Thousand Corpses, a great film. If you haven't checked it out, if you're one of the few who hasn't seen it, do yourself a favor. Go in with an open mind and a
spoopy heart.
And a spoopy heart, yeah. Because it was awesome.
It was. I guess
that's it, I think, for
that's it.
This one.
Yeah, you have a lot of opinions about House of a Thousand Corpses.
I have a lot of opinions about horror in general. I love horror.
We're hoping that this new format that we're doing, where it's just one movie that we talk about, is a lot better than
our twofers. Yeah. Our twofers are fun. They're great, but they take so much time.
They do. They take a lot of time.
It's two films, so it's 4 hours of just watching. 4 hours, well, with pausing and everything, it's 5 to 6 hours,
right,
of film, plus note-taking, plus editing.
So, we're going to do this film. We finished this film. We're going to do Devil's Rejects.
Yep.
If we have time to, we're going to do one that I was not expecting to be as good as it was.
And one I was secretly hoping would be.
Yeah.
And it ended up shocking the heck out of me how good it really was. And that is...
The Banana Splits movie.
The Banana Splits movie.
This thing...
Do yourself a favor if you're watching or listening to this. Go rent it.
Go buy rent it.
I bought it.
He bought it.
I bought it. I saw it. Was like, I'm doing it. We will review it. We've already got opinions about it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It is campy. It is gory. It is creepy. And it is fun.
So the only thing I will say before we get into like a legitimate review of the Banana Splits movie is that all of the special effects are practical effects.
Yes.
They looked at the Banana Splits TV show way back in the 70s and was like, any of the effects we have in this updated movie are going to be practical.
Absolutely.
So there's no CGI in this. No,
there's not a single second of CGI in this film. It is brilliant.
And I'm a huge fan of practical effects.
I am too. CGI to me is stupid. If you're leaning on CGI,
yeah.
It better be one scene in your entire film.
Right.
Otherwise, yes, I'm judging you. I'm judging the hell out of you. Because to me, CGI is just lazy.
Alright.
It's lazy.
House of a Thousand Corpses. That was our review on it. I hope you guys liked it. If you didn't like it...
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Rude.
If you didn't like it,
but I'm sure like we'll have a few people give us opinions on what they like or didn't like.
Feel free to give us what you like.
And most
you know
of
what?
My... most of the like things that people say about this... is that we ramble too much. Mm-hmm. I've gotten it from a few people, but then there are a few people who are just like, the banter back and forth is nice.
I think it keeps
so,
us real.
So, I'm like, I don't know.
Go ahead, give us your opinion. We like the banter. I think it makes it more comfortable.
Because I did not mention this in the beginning.
Yeah.
We should probably say that we were at one point sponsored by Questionable Never's Podcast Network.
Yes.
We don't know if we still are. We are not really sure what the state of Questionable Endeavors is.
Yeah. We have yet to hear anything.
I don't know.
All of our inquiries.
Actually, I haven't even inquired about it. Oh. I've just looked online and seen that it didn't exist as a Facebook group anymore. So
whatever.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Wish them luck and whatever.
Wish
them luck in their future endeavors.
Right. The original logo design was done by Ray Williams.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for a new logo design since it is a new name for the podcast.
Yep. Dark Lament. If you submit
formerly
and
Sometimes or Scotch.
Sometimes
podcast.
Scotch or whatever it was. I still never liked that name. But that's
a
okay.
lot of people didn't.
It's hoity toity.
Right.
It's like, hello. Pinky's out.
Intro music was done by Jonathan James.
Yeah, Jonathan James. Good friend of ours.
Sewer Talent
and help a fellow reigning horror trivia champion with Miss Lament and myself. Yeah, that's right. Wake Brewery, horror trivia every third Thursday
until Devin changes it again,
which will probably be shortly since school's back in session.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're gonna wrap this up. I'm Jeffrey Dark.
I'm Lola Lament.
And this has been Dark Lament.